Derby Spirit has pinched the Oaks by four lengths. But a champion becomes a legend. McCarty Deaver has won it.
Hello and welcome to .com and the Den Mondays for another week as we wrap up the championships day two and also focus on Bendigo. I'm Roger Aldridge and joining me, of course, is my stablemate from Wolf Den, Richard Irvin. Rich, happy Monday to you and what a weekend of racing it was.
It's a great Monday. It was a brilliant weekend of racing. And it wasn't just Randwick where we can get a lot of highlights, a lot of talking points out of. Bendigo was good and also Morpheville. Morpheville is starting to heat up because we've got some big Group 1 action coming from there. Let's get into it, Rog.
Yep, let's hit the straight six.
The straight six.
All right, let's start with Bendigo, Rich, and a horse to watch heading toward Brisbane, I think, is Wonder Boy, victorious in the Bendigo Guineas. Interesting that in his last start in the far lap, that's what showed Jerome Hunter that he could go forward. So when there was no pace on here, that's where Jamie Mott took him, and he was just too strong out the front.
Yep, it was a tradesman-like win. He's back in class, which really suited him. Jamie Mott had a terrific day, won the two big races on the day. We're going to talk about the Golden Mile after this, but Wonderboy heads toward the Queensland Guineas, Group 2, and he'd be right in the thick of that and maybe go on to bigger and better things over Brisbane as well.
Yeah, Hunter cannot wait to get him out to 1,600 up there in Queensland. He thinks if he can get a fast run race, sit just off the speed, that's where he'll see the best from this big boy. And a big boy he is, apparently, and still growing too. Massive lump of a horse. So hopefully we see the best of him up in Brizzy because that carnival's really shaping up as a good one. Another big winner at Bendigo on Saturday, aside from Jamie Mott, as you mentioned, John McArdle, who doesn't just train Regal Zeus, who won the Golden Mile, but he also part owns the gelding. So he jumped from 1,200 to 1,600. So a nice training performance to get him right to do that. Tough race for punters, $5 the field, but this was a really nice win by Regal Zeus.
Yeah, timed perfectly again by Jamie Mott. Got every last bit out of him and lasted, as you can just see there. So where to for Regal Zeus? Well, not trying to go too much up in grade. The Anniversary Cup at Caulfield's an option. The Hawkesbury Gold Cup. Well, there's a race over in Adelaide called the Cummings. No talk of something like the Goodwood. Maybe he thinks that's just a little bit too much of a rise in grade.
Yeah, the big dance, or the Hawkesbury Gold Cup qualifier for the big dance in November. I think, like I said, John McArdle part owns this horse. And it's a $3 million race, the big dance. Yep. I reckon you're trying to get a ticket into that race.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. There was plenty of, there was big money on offer at Randwick. But before we get to Randwick, let's go to Adelaide. Mm-hmm. No, it's not AFL Gather Round we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about the return of Asfura. A very nice return too. She lined up her first Australian start for 12 months. And that was fourth in the Group 1 Galaxy last year. She, of course, won a Group 1 at Royal Ascot, had four starts in the UK. And Henry Dyer wasn't overly bullish about her return, but he was pretty happy afterwards because it was a tough win over a decent horse in Shiripa in the Group 3 Irwin Stakes.
How did they bet $4.40, Roger? I know it's no use to anybody.
I didn't see that price until you pointed it out to me.
How did they bet $4.40, a Royal Ascot winner? Anyway, I think Sharky was, I did see a tweet from Sharky before the race telling everyone, and that's when it was like 3:30. He's like, why is this horse so long, really, considering she's a Royal Ascot winner and lining up at Morpheville. Anyway, that's all in the past. So she'll head to the Sangster now. That's that 1,200-metre race for the mares. She'll obviously be very competitive in that. 1,200 metres is not her go. We know it's well documented.
Yeah.
She's a 1,000-metre specialist, and Henry Dwyer sort of doesn't like the fact that there's not many good races for her over the 1,000 metres in Australia at her level. Anyway, she'll go around the Sangster, and then they get ready for another tilt at Ascot and all those races over in the UK and Europe. She leaves late May.
Yeah, and that's why they go over there, because 1,000 metres is a sweet spot, and she's probably got a bit more on the European sprinters, because if you can run a strong 1,000, you're well suited to Royal Ascot, as she showed last year. And like you said, 1,200 metres really does see her out, so I wouldn't be factoring in too much as she heads to that Group 1 in Adelaide. And that's probably why she was a longish price, all things considered, in this race, because 1,100 probably sees her out. So first up for a long time, I think people were just approaching with caution. Which isn't a bad thing to do, but, you know, hindsight is a wonderful thing. And she was obviously a good thing there. Reserve Bank is headed to the Goodwood after a nice win also at Morpheville on Saturday in the Riddelva Stakes, a listed race. Ford off Gallant Sun, who, of course, last start ran Alabama Last, the star Kiwi sprinter, to half a length. So this might be a really good form race going forward. Well, certainly for these two, first and second over the line.
So what's this, before we talk about Reserve Bank, what's the story with Gallant Sun? He's a Your man Moody, do you know where they want to go with him? Have you found out?
Well, no, because I did speak to him about half an hour ago about something completely different, and I didn't ask him. But look, he obviously ran him in the Coolmore last year. I've said this on this show before, he's got a very high opinion of this colt, and he does think he's a Group 1 horse. Perhaps we haven't seen the best of him yet. I would say he'd try and go to that Group 1. It's just a matter of how that field shapes up and whether he gets in, I suppose.
Mm. And Reserve Bank will go towards the Goodwood. And if they want to give it, so the Goodwood's in 4 weeks. If they want to give him another run in between, there's a 1,200 metre race called the Tobin Bronze at Morpheville in 2 weeks' time for 3-year-olds only. So they could try and tighten up in that. But I think both Gallant Sun and Reserve Bank would be great lightweight chances in a Goodwood.
We knew what you were saying there, Rich. Hey, let's head up to Randwick, because that's where the big focus was on Saturday. Four magnificent Group 1s, and let's start with the Sydney Cup, because I was really keen on Al Alakan after that win in the Chairman's, but she was the first horse beaten, and apparently she was beaten in the mounting yard, apparently melted, which right. I was unaware of. In terms of the winner, Gia Arapahoe was strong to the line. He could have got 3,500.
Yeah. Well, it was just the tempo, wasn't it? They just, I think they went like 30 to 40 lengths faster than the benchmark.
Very fast run race.
And then you could just sort of sell it. Alakans was just starting to shorten stride at the sort of the 1,800, the 600. She was basically gone. And Arapahoe was just sitting behind there and just looked a complete moral and ended up being that way. Zardozi was disappointing. Maybe the 2,000 jumped straight to the 3,200 just didn't quite work for her. I guess that they thought because she ran well in the Melbourne Cup, why not have a go? Duke de Cessa was also disappointing. You remember after he won the Caulfield Cup, Kieran Maher said, I don't think he's really a 3,200-metre horse, and they didn't go into the Cup. Well, now we know that he's almost certainly not a 3,200-metre horse, and Maher was right back in the spring.
Yeah, we won't see him run 3,200 metres again. We will see Zardozi, I imagine, probably head toward a Melbourne Cup again. She does get the trip, but just the race pattern, she pulled her head off early stages too. Yeah.
What do you think the jump from 2,000 metres weight for straight into it?
I think that might be a bridge too far, but they just plotted different path heading toward a Melbourne Cup.
It seems like the Sydney Cup was an afterthought for Zardozi, wasn't it? And it panned out that way.
Al Alakan, I'm not sure. I thought after last week's win, she would definitely get 3,200. Maybe 2,400 is probably more her go, but she was just at the end of her preparation. So, I suppose it's a forgive of sorts there for Al Alakan. Now, Bjorn Baker, absolutely flying, as we know. Bjorn, with sprinters, stayers, middle distance runners. He's on a heater. The only person not caught up in Bjorn fever is wife. Now, I don't think we have the vision, but I did mention to you straight afterwards on the Channel 7 interview, he's chatting to Emma Friedman and he referenced, he's thanking everyone. He's a bit emotionally. He thanks his wife and the camera pans. He tries to drag her into shot. The camera pans around. She gave him the death stare to end all death stares and mouthed something that I can't repeat on our PG-15 show here on .com and the Den Mondays. But
PG-18, mate. 15-year-olds, we don't want them on here.
Well, they probably shouldn't see it either. It was, if looks could kill, Bjorn's a goner. As are anyone who takes on Via Sestina. Because the Queen Elizabeth was one of the best fields we have seen assembled in this country for a long time. She looked in a mountain of trouble, but showed the same fight that we see from the best. It was a great ride from J-Mac on a great horse in a great field. This was her toughest test, I think more so than the Cox Plate, and she was up for the fight.
Yeah, it was a brilliant win. It was a lot of people doubting, even myself. I thought that I certainly didn't want to back her at even money or anything like that. But she equals Winx now with 7 Group 1s. It's a record for the modern era, 7 Group 1s in the season. I saw Chris Waller also goes to 18 Group 1s in the season, which matches his own record. And we've still got plenty of Group 1s left in the season to go. So who knows where he will finish up. So likely that Via Sestina will run on. Why would they send her the breeding barn? She's sort of a once-in-a-lifetime horse.
Well, he sort of said after the race that, it's ultimately it's Yulong's call, but she'll go to the spring and she'll... You'd imagine she'll follow a similar path to last year, and that would mean the Cox Plate is probably her grand final, but if she gets through that, then why wouldn't you go to the Champion Stakes yet again? And that's what Champions Day is all about at Flemington, is getting the best horses there. So we want to see her run on after her grand final.
The only chance she might not go to the Champions because she might go to Hong Kong. There's talk about
that's true.
Her going to Hong Kong for International Day. Obviously, Yulong would have a pretty strong affiliation with Hong Kong. I believe they're trying to get more of a presence in Hong Kong as well. So I'd love to see her go over there and be in, I think it's the Hong Kong Cup, maybe Hong Kong International Cup, whatever the 2,000 metre race is. She'd be fantastic in that. But let's talk about where she sits, Rog, all time. So obviously Winx is, in a different stratosphere, but is she better than so, you think?
Well,
where do you have her?
I don't like comparing champions through the eras, and so you think was such a long time ago, and I don't think we got to see the best of so you think, because he went overseas and the trainer over there completely demarked. He should have won a lot more races. He should
still
be
won
held,
five group ones over
I agree, but he should be held in the regard internationally as one of the all-time greats. And I think that if he had stayed, or you know, it's lovely to say, if Park Cummings had trained him overseas and been able to get the best out of him over there, or he'd stayed in Australia, that would have been great. She has dominated Australian racing for 12 months.
Yes.
Now, Winx obviously dominated for a longer period.
And
the best horses do dominate for a long... Even Mr. Brightside has been sort of up and around those group ones for a long, long time. I do think her wins and her group ones put her above Brightside. But, yeah, look, she's certainly the best horse in Australia at the moment. And I think she was rated as the number one sort of turf horse in the world last year.
Yeah.
Romantic Warrior is probably better than her. But
there was a story in Racing.com this week saying that the Longines World Horse Racing Rankings have come out for this last few months of this year, and there was no Australian in the top 20 because none of the autumn performances warranted it.
Yep.
But in saying that, it might change after what we saw on Saturday. But beyond that, like, put her in any... Like, if she was in Hong Kong this weekend, you know, like, she'd be... I think Rebel Romance might be in that race. She'd be close to favourite. And put her in any race in Hong Kong this weekend, she'd be close to favourite. Even the Romantic Warrior race, you know, she'd probably be... Romantic Warrior might be even. She'd be $3.50 or something like that. Close to favourite.
Yeah, I don't know enough about international. I don't follow international racing greatly. I do like to tune in when the likes of Romantic Warrior, because I've got that interest from when he came out, won the Cox Plate, and obviously J-Mac riding. I take that sort of interest. Same with Kay Ying Rising because of the Hayes connection. But I just don't know enough about the international racing. She's certainly the best horse in Australia, and she's one of those horses I think is getting up toward that sort of echelon where you would go to the races to watch her run.
Yeah,
I can't wait to see her in the spring. And, you know, if she comes out and she dominates the spring again, then, you know, we're talking about her at an even higher level.
Sure.
But for now, I just like to appreciate the champions as they're going around, because so often we don't get to see them for a long period of time. I think we're blessed with Winks and Black Caviar to see them over multiple years winning multiple group ones. A horse that we will get to see a lot more of, well, you would think, she's only a three-year-old filly, is Treasure the Moment. And this was the first time we've probably seen her really tested since about her second or third start.
They nearly messed it up. J-Mac and D-Lane, they nearly messed it up, Rog.
They did. But she showed the fight of a champion and a will to win that you only really see in the best horses. She was on the canvas with 100 metres to go, and she was able to find the line in a way that showed she's a genuine star. She'll have bigger tests, obviously, when she gets out of her own age group and her own sex. But Matt Laurie sounds like he wants to aim at the Cox Plate, and that is the biggest test of all. And why not? 2,000 metres as a four-year-old is probably her likely sweet spot.
Yeah. So it was just pedestrian pace. We talked about how hard they went in the Sydney Cup. Well, the race before, this was the Oaks, and they just went incredibly slowly. As fast as they went above the benchmark, they went as slow below the benchmark in this race, and just led to that sit and sprint. And those horses out in front, Yu Wang and whatnot, who were nowhere near as good as Treasure of the Moment. And
you don't want to hang Yu Wang out in front either.
You don't want to hang Yu Wang out in front. But Class got a home, and you would have just seen Matt Laurie and Kate Brightoak up on the screen before, and you could see the huge relief on them. So we spent a bit of time with them last week, which was a privilege. You could just tell they were just tired. It's been a huge couple of weeks for them, and they just wanted to get the finish line and get this filly over the line and then go back to where they live down in Mornington and just take life a bit easier. So good on them. They seem like lovely people, and they've had a huge amount of success. And this is on the back of, remember, they had a pretty difficult period about a year ago with Coleman where they thought they had a star colt. They lost him. But now they're back and they've got, you know, the best three-year-old filly in the land and arguably the best two-year-old colt in the land as well. And it'll help them financially. Yeah. So good for them. And I did notice...
see the emotion with the two there embracing in a way that we didn't see with Pyon Baker and his wife.
This is true. And D-Lane got 2 weeks and a 10K fine. The stewards weren't particularly enamoured with him.
Hey, don't step on my toes, buddy. That belongs in the steward's speed round, pal.
Overuse of the whip. But yeah, bring on the Cox Plate for Treasure the Moment, and we're going to make a fantastic vlog about her, and I'll drop it next week. I think you'll all really enjoy it.
What was bloody sensational out of the weekend was J-Mac's ride on Fangirl in the Queen of the Turf. I thought his ride on Via Sestina was a peach, but the way he got Fangirl out of Strife and home in the Queen of the Turf was incredible. It got very willing, as we can see here in the closing stages. I thought there might have been a reprimand or a suspension coming for it, but no, all clear in that contact with the tissue. He is closing in very quickly on Damien Oliver's Group 1 record.
Yeah, great win by Fangirl. The King Zone declared. You can talk to him about that in Cook the Book. We've got a tissue finishing third, and also Steffi Magnetic, who was good. So firstly on Steffi. Steffi will go to the paddock now. She won't defend her Stradbroke title, and she will be aimed at the King Charles and the Empire Rose over the springtime. A tissue goes to the Magic Millions Broodmare, where she will be sold and you would imagine won't race again. And also news out of the race, Amelia's Jewel, who was a little disappointing there, has been retired and will be sold at the English Chairman Sale, a former favourite horse of yours. How do you feel about her retirement, Rog?
No, it's probably the right move. I still don't reckon we saw the best of her. I think she was sort of set to those sprint trips when she probably should have been looking at further. And I know Simon Miller actually wanted to run her over greater distances, but the money in those sprint trips was too good. She's a Group 1 winner. She'll fetch a lot of money at the
Yeah, it's crazy what they pay. Yeah. And Fangirl, I mean, she could go to the breeding barn as well, but I think that's very unlikely. They'll race on with her. Interesting comment by Chris Waller after the race. He said that he wants to give her a chance at 2,000 metres, and I don't know how that will be. I think he's keen for her to win a decent 2,000-metre race, so I'll be interested to see how he tries to make that happen over spring. Maybe the Alumba Stakes or something like that might be the go.
Yeah, let's have a look at the winner of the day poll now. And interesting that you let the work experience kid take over the winner of the day poll, because you don't see Fangirl in there. No. Arapahoe's, Zolotti's, Via Sestina and Tempted. Best studio out in the country, turn it up.
He must have backed Zolotti's down in Bendigo. I don't know. Yeah. Anyway. But Via Sestina won it. Clearly, if I voted, and maybe I did vote, I probably would have voted for Arapahoe. I thought that was a dynamite win. All right, Rog, let's now move to your favourite segment, everybody's favourite segment, the Steward's Speed Round.
Steward's Room Speed Round.
All right, the Steward's Speed Round. I'll try and get through without coughing up a lung here, as you don't see that in the outtakes. Horse actions from Bendigo, Electric Bell in race 4, Pathological Arrhythmia, suspended, needs a vet clearance. Race 6, El Salto, EIPH, suspended, vet clearance needed. Indola was fractious in the barriers, became cast, was scratched. She suspended, has to trial. And in race 9, New York Hurricane, similar to Indola, suspended, needs a vet clearance. Race 8, Geoglyph was lame in the off four leg. That's at Randwick. Damien Lane, as you mentioned, got a $10,000 fine, excessive whip use, and also quite a hefty suspension too for 2 weeks for excessive whip use. Blake Shin, careless riding, he got 9 days. And Tommy Berry on Athabascan made contact with Warmonger, careless riding, shifting out, he got about 11 or 12 days as well. So a fair bit out of that round week, some people paying some pretty hefty penalties.
Cook the Book.
All right, let's get into Cook the Book after day two of the championships. Joining us, as they always do, Tom Hackett from Ladbrokes, Kingsley Bartholomew from Wolf Den. Tommy, we'll start with you, as we generally do. A blowout in the Sydney Cup, but I'm guessing that was the only good result across the Group 1s for the Ladbrokes Book.
Yeah, it's pretty much spot on, Rog. Sydney Cup was an interesting betting race where they certainly didn't truckload the favourite like they did in those other feature races on the card. It was still a losing result for the book, the favourite, Alakanta. Losing result of around 130,000, but it certainly wasn't as popular as the other favourites on the card. Arapahoe, a great result for the book, $269,000 winner. But as you said, Rog, that was the only winning result in any of the Group 1 races on the card.
So you hemorrhaged on the rest of them. The Fangirl vs. Estina Treasure the Moment multi, I'd imagine, was fairly popular.
It was very, very popular. Like, in terms of the individual race results, were too bad. Like, they were all losing results. The worst of them was Via Sestina, who was individually was a losing result of $369,000. But it was the collective result there, just the punters going bang, bang, bang. It was a very obvious multi. But even as an analyst who likes to try to find a bit of value at the edges there, I couldn't really talk anyone out of any of them. So they were it was an obvious multi, and punters took it.
Did you take it, Kings? Because I know you declared Fangirl as the greatest bet of the millennium just about.
Yeah, I did. No, I didn't take the multis. I rarely take a multi, but I imagine it would have been a real bad result for bookies around the country, those three horses getting up. But no, Fangirl was the only one I was on. I thought Treasure the Moment. I was worried about that slow pace, which nearly did Treasure the Moment in the end. And I thought Fair Sestina was a touch short, had her well on top, but more around that $2.50 range. And I had something on Dubai Honor at around $9.
And so what did you have Fangirl priced at? And if you're happy to sort of take the shorts there as well.
$1.50 I had Fangirl. So she was the one that I was really sort of keen to just truckload. But yeah, the others got the money item on top. But as I said, I wasn't into them.
Yeah, Vesa Steiner was. I thought she'd win, but she was way too short for my liking. Not that I play big. Hey, the Bendigo meet from memory has been traditionally a tough one for the punters. Did you have much of a play at the Nursery of Champions?
It got really leaderish there. It was really hard to make ground, and I was already on. Manalo Bling, and then I doubled down once I saw the way the track was. I think on the Saturday set, I tipped Manalo about 650, and then I went again at 380 once I saw the way the track was, and got the cash there, and then I was into Tatsumuki. That's it, Tatsumuki.
You and me both.
And it was a really patient ride by MD on Tatsumuki, and I would have loved to have seen him just go straight to the front, and then Pivot City really capped it off. In the last, I was on Pivot City at around $3.50 and $3.40, and then got off the fence. Merton's got off the fence, and in hindsight, should have stayed there. But you know, it's the way it goes. So I was on three big firmers. Those were my three big goes, and got one of them home.
Yeah, well, there must have been some good viewing numbers for the Saturday set, given that move on Manola Bling. Absolutely smashed. Tom, did the punters finally get the better of the book at Bendigo? Because usually that's a happy hunting ground for Ladbrokes.
Yeah, they didn't get the better of us in the end, the punters, but it was a bit of an up and down contest. And it basically came down to that final race. The horse that Kings was on, Pivot City, was a terrible result for the race, a losing result of over $400,000. Marble Nine, the winner, a winning result of almost $400,000. So essentially an $800,000 turnaround there. And that was the difference in the day. But it certainly, I wouldn't say, it was certainly not a punter's graveyard like it can be, Bendigo. There was a number of horses that were well backed and with good results for the punters.
Yeah, that's a bigger swing than a Mitch Stark Yorker, that one in the last. Tom, I thought if Al Alakan saluted in the Sydney Cup, there would have been a significant shift in the Melbourne Cup futures markets. Did Arapahoe winning make any waves in the futures?
No, didn't whatsoever. I think we know. Well, firstly, we know the Sydney Cup form into the Melbourne Cup, it just doesn't stack up, particularly now with the dominance of international and important stays in the Melbourne Cup. I think we know. Like Arapo, probably it was a very impressive performance, and he's a very good horse. But I think we know what his level is. He's probably not good enough to win a Melbourne Cup. So he's still $51 in the Melbourne Cup market, and I wouldn't see him getting much shorter than that heading into the first Tuesday of November.
Yeah, well, plenty of people thought last year's Melbourne Cup winner wasn't good enough to win a Melbourne Cup as well.
I would have priced it $2,000 to one, Rog. So anyone can win it. It turns out anyone can win a Melbourne Cup these days.
Yeah, hey, the focus shifts to Adelaide and Brisbane in the coming weeks. Kings, is there any horses that you're set to follow, or is it a bit too early to worry at this point?
It's probably a bit too early, as we don't know where they sort of go. But anywhere that Autumn Glow goes, I want to be following her. I want to be with her. I think she's the one. The star on the rise. She's obviously scratched from Saturday for elevated temperature, but she's the one to keep following. I think I've got one for tomorrow at Seymour that I found. Seymour race 6, number 3, about $6.50. Altruist, had no luck last time. Drawn barrier 1, straight to the front. Bit like Manalo, hopefully, and straight to the front. Starts $3 and we get the cash. So there's one for tomorrow at Seymour.
Well, the beauty of this show not being live is that I can get on before Trelmitt puts it out there and everyone crunches it in the market. Tommy, of course, we need the final results. You said that Bendigo swung around, but I'd imagine Randwick, it was definitely a punter's day, but by how much?
Oh, certainly a punter's day. The final multi-payout is the difference maker there. If it was just on the outright win book, it was pretty close thing, but the outright, the multi-book has got it well and truly in favour of the punters who have had a very, very fat Sydney Carnival. As Kings did predict about 5 weeks ago, these favourites wouldn't stop winning, and the favourites have not stopped winning, essentially.
Yeah, he predicted it, and that's why he's sitting on a lean, because his wallet's so fat in his back pocket. Gentlemen, thank you very much for your time. We will. I think, Kings, you might be having a bit of a break, so we might catch you in a few weeks. Tommy, we'll see you next week.
Sneak peek.
All right, the championships are over, Rich, but there's still some decent racing this weekend. I'm not going to say this Saturday because Country Discovery today is on Good Friday at Echuca. That's a $500,000 1,000-meter sprint, which we'll see Ray Magnerio.
The great Ray.
The Ray of Sunshine.
Yeah, that'd be excellent to watch amongst the rugby league and the AFL on Good Friday, one of the great public holidays of the year.
My family's actually heading up away for the weekend, not me, because I've got to work. My wife and kids are going up to Moama to visit her parents. That is the border town with the Chuka. So that maybe they'll pop over to the Country Discovery. I doubt they even knew it was on. Actually, her dad would have known it was on. On Saturday, Mornington Cup meeting. So there's also a golden ticket on offer down there into the Caulfield Cup.
Yep.
And Group 1.
Nine Endeavour, Q Tempesta might be running in the Mornington Cup.
And Group 1's in Sydney again, two of them.
Yeah. So why don't we bring the markets up to have a little bit of a look to give it a bit of context. The all-age stakes, that's an absolute belt of a race. Broadsiding $9, no thank you. Steffi won't be running, I'm almost certain.
Don't think
Another
Will
at $8 looks pretty tasty. Now, Autumn Glow, what do you think? Do you think, if you owned her, would you be running her in a red-hot weight-for-age race over 1,400 metres at this stage of her career?
I think they could probably save her. But, I mean, she does seem to be a brilliant horse. I just don't know whether we've seen the best of her yet, so why not throw her in the deep end? But, yeah, I don't know. I'll leave it to Chris Wilder. He seems like he knows what he's doing.
Who do you want to back there, Rog?
Briasa.
Okay. Class will rise to the top.
Yeah, the Champagne is the other one. I'm pretty sure our friend Rainman, Tommy Haggett, I'm fairly certain this is the race that he is absolutely bullish on the fact it should not be Group 1.
Mm.
So nepotism, $2.20 favourite.
Yeah, often it thins out a bit by this time of the season. A lot of the two-year-olds have been put away, but it's a pretty important part of the Triple Crown, the Group 1.
Jeez, it's not a field's getting you excited. Two-year-old Group 1. Group 1 level.
Mm. Yeah. I'm going to go to Randwick on Saturday. I'll be down there, probably by myself, chat with a few people I know. I've already asked the missus. She said all good. So I can't wait to go down there and just have a very quiet afternoon.
Yep. So if you're at Randwick, just avoid Richard Irvin. He'll be wandering around like a vagrant.
Yep.
On the punt.
A lot of others there.
And look, I imagine it might be a long weekend for some, but we'll be back on Easter Monday for .com of the Den Mondays, won't we, Rich?
We do not rest. We never rest. And you all have a very safe Easter weekend, and we'll see you then.
You win some, you lose more. For free and confidential support, call the number on the screen or visit the website.